to say, don't get your wee photograph.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, you can do all that and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But have that as a small fraction, because you want that photo. The reason we take photos is to elicit a memory, or, you know.
Yep.
And you want to look at that photo and go, this is why I like that so much, because it boom, boom,
yep.
boom, boom, boom. Because I remember that girl. Then
yeah,
girls
yeah.
turning around me, give me a dirty look, while my cousin was standing beside me, block dancing, with his wee arm in a cast.
So, as Anto's talked about photos, photography has been a big thing for you as well.
It definitely is.
So,
and
I'm used to looking at your Facebook and seeing the advertising, whatever latest camera it is you're pushing, but now on your Instagram, you're using photography as a...
Yeah, yeah, so it's quite interesting. I've got a friend who's now starting to study art therapy, and just, you know, the positive impacts it can have on your life doing, you know, different types of art therapy. For me, growing up, it was always about painting and drawing. It was a great way of, you know, like an escapism, you know, being able to show the emotion. Soon realised that, you know what, I'm not that great at painting and drawing, so I turned towards digital layer, which was more using, you know, photography. Photography is a tool to sort of to drive, you know, how I'm feeling, but also just to drive awareness in terms of, you know, if we're bringing fast forward to where we are now, I'm using my photography to sort of help drive that message and using the journal as a narrative, you know, towards those pictures, which is pretty good. So yeah, like, photography has been absolutely amazing for me to be able to, you know, find an escapism, you know, to take my mind off, you know, other things. And obviously I've moved to, you know, all mobile instead of using big clunky cameras, because, you know, as you know, mobile phones have come on massively over the years. So yeah, definitely photography has played, you know, a big part, and it's...
And it means you can be in the moment and take a snapshot anywhere of
whatever
it is you're doing.
And that's it, you know what I mean? And definitely, I'll probably, you'll see on my Instagram, it'll be doing, you know, art therapy with, you know, my friend Jen, just to show what difference that will actually have on my well-being as well, which is going to be quite interesting. No, don't worry. But yeah, no, photography.
Well, I'll tell you what, student. I have a fear of bees and wasps. Can you put up that one of the
bees? And the bee, yes. I feeding the bee some sugar and water. I think that's what you're meant to give him. Like, if not, he flew off, so he must be alright. I say he, like,
that.
It's, you know, there's no gender specific here. It could be.
How dare you see that?
The bee. the bee flew off, you know. But
what,
yeah.
You know, you love wee jokes? What do you call scary bees? Boobies.
Oh, fuck's sake. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, turn on. Yeah.
Right, you were saying about the journal gives you, like, exercises to do.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, the attitude for gratitude is one of them. Give us a few other things. And we're not talking about physical exercise here, are we?
I take a photo.
No, no, no.
Of
but
the page of the journal.
No, but 100%. Well, you can blank page or use a page of wrote in, whatever you
no,
prefer. But no, you've hit the nail on the head there as well, Anto, when it comes to, you know, physical exercise. Like, the benefits to your well-being with physical exercise, where taking a walk or joining the local football team is immense. And it's great as a meal, you know, that I'm part of a local football team that have so many ties to great charities out there that work with mental health, because our club has been affected by mental health. And it's great that we're able to continue that journey and continue to break down those stigmas and those barriers. But yeah, so the journey, or the journal, which is by a company called Mind Journal, like, the next input is going to be describe your day today. So at the end of the day, timestamp each activity, describe each thing, how it made you feel, did you enjoy it, and what did you do? Is there anything you would have preferred? There's another one which is, you know, what's on your bucket list? So write down 100 things that you plan to do in your life and start ticking them off. You know, because lists are important as well, and it's interesting when you start doing lists as well, the effect that can have on your well-being and being able to plan is phenomenal.
Because you're making a commitment to do something.
And this is it, yeah. There's a previous one, the pie of life. You know, that's one I've done recently, which is pick 10 categories from a list below and place them on a slice of pie. Give them a score from 0 to 10, mark them with a cross in the axis, join up the crosses and complete the question. So mine, like most out there, family, health, fun, work, fitness, friends, career, adventures, well-being and finances. I was basically just talking about those, you know, where I thought I was at that moment of time within those industries. You know, so I can read one out, I've no harm reading one out. Like, friends, you know, I feel this segment of the pie could have a section to itself. I can honestly say I have lost touch with my closest friends, and I do believe I need to do more to reach out to them. Life, as we all know, can get on top of us, and we often forget about those who can make a huge difference with the littlest of things. And I suffered like Anto any time, you know, I went into your store. You know what? You were able to pick up whenever I was down. You would just do the silliest thing or the littlest thing. and it could just change my mood completely for the good, where I'd be, you know, telling a shit joke or, you know, making a cup of tea.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, like probably my favourite one was, you know, it asked me about my goals. Like when people ask, you know, what are your goals? What are your aspirations? You know, but this was more specific, you know, what do I want to actually get from this journal? And it was ultimately to learn more about myself and how to best manage how I'm feeling. So obviously the past 18 months, if anything, has taught me a lot about life, what's important, and obviously not everything's, you know, black and white or as obvious as it may seem. And I suppose, as I've mentioned, you know, the journey started from my mum passing. So learning to deal with grief and, you know, my own issues, you know, by going to see Karen has definitely, you know, helped me, you know, understand myself more. So those are huge steps in such a short space of time. You know, and obviously I want to develop better understanding of gratitude, and I want to continue to be open with my feelings and extend my branch out to anyone else who needs it. And that's ultimately, you know, the end goal here is hopefully in 20 years time be able to look back and, you know, talking about male mental health, or just driving that awareness to make it the norm for people to be able to open up openly and honestly with no stigmas, you know, surrounding it.
Yeah. I think a big thing with especially younger people now, maybe you have a different opinion on this, but for me, I find the reason that there's been such an uplift is people don't know how to suffer. And I think people need to remember, bad times don't last. And that's the thing, you know, people will come through some hardships, but I think a lot of successful people, when you listen to them, they'll all say the same thing. Most of them came from nothing. They had to endure. Do you think learning how to deal with things, like suffering, do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, or how would you cope with it? So, like stress,
yeah,
for example. Stress is a massive factor.
Yeah. No, I would agree in that it's only a positive, in terms of, you know, learning about how to deal with it. You know, because it's only then can you actually truly understand it, but also understand yourself. You know, understand what triggers certain things. For me, stress, the easiest thing is my football. You know, being able to go with a group of lads, similar age, or even younger lads, you know, it's from, you know, 17 upwards to 40-odd. You know, being able to go there, that for me, and again, I only learnt this through counselling. Football is what we call, or what Karen called, was a release valve for me. That is how I let off steam. That's how I let off stress. So to continue to do that, whether that's, you know, the football or exercise in general, is to continue to do that, because the effects that has on your well-being is phenomenal, and it's all positive. So definitely, like, as you've hit the nail on the head, like, bad days, you know, they come and go. For me, I will continue to have good and bad days. Everyone out there will continue to have good or bad days, but the good days will always outweigh those bad days. And I've only learned about myself and my behaviours as to how to deal with that. So yes, it's only a positive thing to learn about those, to learn about how to deal with stress or how to deal with anxiety. Can you then truly understand yourself and understand how to cope with those? And there's different methods and, you know, processes out there to help with that. And for me, it was the counselling.
So, before the counselling, give us an example, if you can, before how you coped with something and now how you cope with it.
So I'll use football as an example, and the lads here will probably be chuckling. So like, you know me as a person, I'm no way, shape or form aggressive, but as soon as I get to train near the football pitch, I just take over, you know what I mean? It's just like a, I was going to say Pirlo, but I haven't got the hair, and he's probably a hell of a lot more calmer, probably like a Roy Keane, you know what I mean? That is how, you know, I didn't understand why am I like this, why, you know, I'm not one to, you know, to lash out or to be aggressive,
yeah.
You know, but it wasn't until then I went, and Karen's like, no, what's your release valve? That is how you're releasing your stress or releasing how you're feeling, and you know what, there's nothing wrong with contending with that. Where I thought, Christ, you know, why am I doing this? Is there something wrong with me? Why am I feeling I have to lash out? But that's just how,
as
I say, coping mechanism is just to, you know, vent and get out, you know, cope with that. Previously as well, I would have been, you know, took myself off, sat in the room by myself, you know, and I didn't understand why. I thought, you know what, just boredom or things they got, but you know, it was just, I wasn't able to cope with how I was feeling, so I sort of secluded myself. Again, going to therapy 101 has helped me to deal with that. This is why I was doing certain things, this is why you were, you know, acting with that behaviour. And because I'm more consciously aware of it now, I know how to cope with it, and I know, you know what, it's okay to feel like that, you know, and this is why you're feeling like that. So yeah, for me, it's all about that self-awareness, or learning about, you know, self-awareness.
Breaking the pattern.
100%, breaking the pattern, or breaking those habits,
yeah.
You know. And that's, again, it's only a good thing, and it's not until you actually talk about things like that with a professional or with someone within that industry that you actually realise that, oh, the penny drops in, it's like, oh, right, okay, it makes a lot more sense now.
And it's the smallest nuance that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
it is,
for
yeah.
For me, what I learned to do was have, like, a trigger word. See if I felt, see for me with the anger, to me it was like a thermometer. You know when you see the mercury rising and
yep.
Raising and rising?
Yep.
And see whenever I felt myself getting like that, I used to physically shake. Like
yeah.
I had to grip my two hands and, oh, fuck, why did you do that? Blah, blah, whatever. But then see when I felt myself getting like that, see if I felt like my hands clenching or like my teeth going, and we say like green. Pick
yep.
a word, whatever
yep.
it is, and then focus and go, right, why am I thinking like that? I think with the therapy I've done, it was more like cognitive behavioural therapy, CBT.
Yeah, yep, isn't it, yep.
It's about, to me, I try and be very, what's the word I'm looking for? Not practical. When you think about stuff. Logical, that's
logical,
what I'm
yeah,
looking
yep.
for. So I try to be logical, like, right, why you like that? So just say, like, the time with a cup of tea, if I'd have been able to go, why are you going to shout at her? Because the cup of tea's in the dishwasher the wrong way. Of what importance is that cup of tea sitting in that direction going to affect the rest of your day, the rest of your life? And then you go, right, okay, that's completely irrelevant. So why am I going to shout at her? And
yeah.
There's no need.
Yeah.
And it's breaking that habit and that cycle. It's about learning what your triggers are.
Yep.
And then breaking them. So now what would you do?
Well, see, there's different methods in terms of what Karen's taught me. One thing is there's a certain place between your thumb and your index finger, which it's the opposite hand to your predominant hand. So in this case, it's my left hand.
Same
and you would pinch it. But whenever you pinch it, you think of a happy thought, a very happy thought. You don't have to share that thought. For me, mum passed away. My happy thought was the first time that my local football team that I'm part of, that we won our cup. I was a penalty shootout, and I had my sisters and my dad around me, so that even now I still get welled up about it, because I was just so happy, because it was such a hard year, and the fact that, you know what, that's what made me happy. I'm probably going to cry here, but she'll be alright. You know, so pinch that, you do it three times, and then basically what it does, whenever that sort of stress or the anxiety rises, I'm able to pinch that, and then that automatically brings me back to that fond memory or that happy memory. So that's one technique. But it's interesting what you've said, like if I was to say to you to put things into perspective, you know, you're going to give me a Balligan for a mug. It's only when you put that into perspective that you were like, well, actually it's not as big as what
it's
it is.
Irrelevant.
But then that's, like, the mind is fascinating, that it's such a vulnerable part of us, but it's also a very, very strong part of us. And once we learn about ourselves and learn about the mind and how it works, we can really, you know, understand ourselves, as I say, and control our behaviours and control how we're feeling. And as I say, like, it's not always going to be the case. There's still times where I get overwhelmed and, you know, I would panic and I would get anxious about certain things, but you know, after a couple of hours I take myself off or try to distract myself, you know, then I can digest and start feeling myself come back into my normal self, you know. But again, this is hopefully having these conversations as well, it does help. It really does help, because it makes it more comfortable to talk about situations that society feels that society's put a barrier up previously to, you know, that this isn't something that males should be talking about, but you know what it is.
Have you changed your diet in any way?
Well, see, this is the thing. Obviously, with everyone's guilty of it. Like, whenever they come out of a relationship, first thing they want to do is start to look after themselves, which is endless. Like, why am I not like that all the time? It's obviously because, you know, you get comfortable within relationships and things like that. But diet-wise, I'm a fussy shape when it comes to food. Like, so, yes, I'm a lot more consciously aware of what I'm putting into my body. Still doesn't stop me from getting a triple cheeseburger from Mickey D's. I'm aware of what I'm eating. But definitely exercise has definitely played a bigger role. Might have been working out maybe 2-3 times a week to maybe 5-6 times. And it's not too... Yeah, okay, physically, I want to feel fitter. I feel like 32, I should be at the prime of life. Do I feel like God at the minute? No. So that, for me, is also a nice big goal to, you know, aim towards, and to keep myself distracted as well. But yeah, definitely, like, diet-wise, I'm a lot more conscious. Obviously, back living with my dad, it's like steak and chips. I wish it was like that every night, but it's not. But I'm a lot more, you know, when I'm going shopping, things like that, I'm trying to bring in good, healthy foods, because the difference that can have, especially when it comes to like sleep, because I'm a very, very light sleeper, and sleep is so important. So again, you know, a rule of thumb is always make time to rest and sleep. I think it was a Chinese doctor, I don't know why or not this is another fake news on Facebook, but a Chinese doctor, like he says, you know, your heart does, like anything else, it's got an expectancy, you know, so why overstress it? And he says, obviously, about doing too much exercise, you're putting your heart through a lot more stress. Train of thought lost again, but basically what he's saying is, you know, look after your heart, look after yourself, and rest more, sleep more, and have a nap, you know.
Yeah, because your heart is a muscle, and if you overwork any muscle, it's going to cramp, it's going to stop working.
Yep, and deteriorate quicker, yeah.
See what you were saying there within like the exercise and stuff, and it sort of feeds back into what you were saying earlier. Obviously, when you break up or whatever, just any form of stress, if you start a form of exercise, I think it's very important for people to set short, medium, and long-term goals. Year and a half ago we had Tommy from XL Gym on here, and that was one of his big things, was have different types of goals set out for yourself, right? So you're not going to go and be an Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Unless you dedicate yourself, that's going to take years. So maybe it's, I'm going to go walking once a week, and then a month's time I'm going to walk once a week, and I'm going to run once a week, and then it's, I'm going to go to the gym once, walk once, run once. You need a coffee set wee goals, and that's what this journal is going to be very good, because you can set those wee goals.
Yep.
And then once see the chemical release from exercise.
Yeah, endorphins are flowing through your head. You know what I mean? And it's great. And it's interesting you say that, especially 2020, probably what a lot of people have done is fitness, especially with lockdown. It's something that they have looked, whereas doing, you know, John Wick's workout routines, or you might see a Spider-Man workout routine, you know, on my Facebook. But people are working out more because, you know, it's something, you know, the time to do it, essentially. So for me, like 5Ks in the local football team for pre-season, you know, we can't meet up, you know, let's do 5K. So, you know, create a wee bit of competition, you know, boys were trying to get the 5K in the fastest time. So when I started out, you know, we were looking at 30 minutes, you know, and I was like, right, he's down to that, I want to get down to that. So down to 24, 25 minutes, you know, so seeing that reduction, that's a goal for me now. Also, this was the first year that I've ever done over 10K. So done 12K run, I was like, you know what, I can't do it. But it was an interesting stat, or someone mentioned, whenever your body feels, especially when it comes to sports or exercise, whenever you feel you want to stop, you've only actually reached 40% of your potential. That's your mind taking over, you know. So breaking through that, you'll find yourself going on more. So I, like, you know what, I've only ever done 5K, I've never done 10K, I want to do it. And I've done it in like 58 minutes, which is very, very good, especially when I was weighing 16 stone. Well, 15 and a half. You know, so it is indeed, you know what I mean? These hips don't lie. But no, so it was good to be able to, you know, see from a mental perspective, it was like, you know what, I can't do it. But they actually go and do it, you know, it does, as Anthony says, like the endorphins and the, you know, the happiness I actually got, you know, was buzzing, absolutely buzzing. You know, the fact that I was able to do something that I thought once that I wasn't able to do. You know, so definitely set goals, realistic goals. Could be, you know, I want to knock a minute off my, you know, 5K. Well, unrealistic. I want to knock maybe 10 seconds off my 5K.
Yeah.
You know, you're
but
something
in
to aim
stages,
for. In stages, incremental.
Seconds.
You know what I mean? Take it in incremental stages, you know, because you're making progress, and that's what it's about, you know. And it's the same with your mental health. You know, it's not going to change overnight. I love this analogy, and probably it's overused, but you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it was built. You know, and that's the sense. Yeah, it's the same as your mental health. Take care of it. You know, one stage at a time, one process at a time, and eventually you'll get to the point where you know you're a lot more consciously aware of who you are and why you're thinking certain thoughts or things like that. So
I think because we live in an information society where everything is instant. People think happiness is going to be instant. You know, if I go and buy them leggings that girl with the fat hole on Instagram has, I'm going to be like that.
Yeah.
And then you get it, and it's not.
Yep.
You know, it's, you have to set yourself a realistic expectation.
Yep.
And again, incremental, as you said, work towards them. What is your work-life balance like now before? Because before, I know I was guilty of doing it.
Yep.
I would have messaged you late at night about something.
Yeah.
Or even like Sinead still shouts at me. I would do a lot of take a lot of phone calls on my days off,
yeah.
text messages, emails.
Yeah, yeah.
I've tried to knock as much of that in the head.
Yeah.
What's your work-life balance like?
I think if anything, that probably speaks volumes about you as an individual in terms of like how dedicated you are to work. You know, career also for me is something that's very, very important and very high up my list of priorities. But as you know, you've alluded to already that sometimes we do get caught up. You know, I'm on a holiday and I bring my work phone. You know what? I'm entitled to actually relax and enjoy myself, you know, without having to worry about, you know, other things that are going on. And I'm like, oh, well, what if this is going on? Well, don't worry. Again, that goes back to that thing we were talking about earlier in terms of, you know, you can't worry, which, you know, you can't control.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's for me, work balance at the minute. Obviously, with what's happened with COVID, you know, we are working more Saturdays, which is frustrating because I've not got that, you know,
football
so I haven't got that release valve. So other than that, you know, work-life balance at the minute, you know, I feel like I'm in a good place. COVID obviously has added, you know, extra stresses in terms of my day-to-day life, in terms of what I can actually do as my job. So we're still getting a lot of accountability, but not being able to influence or affect, you know, our clients, or our customers in a manner that we would have done previously. But definitely it is important, and more so now than ever. I'm actually looking, I'm going, you know what, like, what do I want to do? You know, what's important for me from a work perspective? You know, what do I want to achieve from a work perspective? But more importantly, don't forget about, you know, your own personal aspirations as well.
Definitely.
What else have we got in
that wee big action?
What else have we got? In the journal, or?
Yeah. See the exercises?
Yeah, the exercises. Let's have a go there.
Give us a couple more then, because...
So, the ultimate goal with this one, obviously you've got the mind journal. So, the idea of the journal is to get you into the mindset of being able to write your own journal. So, this company, they have what's known as a journal, and then the second part is what's known as a jogger. The jogger is essentially a journal, but learning through all these different methods and techniques will help you write that jogger without any sort of tips or hints. So what's like stage one, you know, entry 7, first thing they'll always ask is, how do you feel? And it was quite a good thing I put up on my Instagram, in terms of, if we go back to research, there was only ever 6 emotions, I think it was, in terms of how people would feel. Like, after studies, there's over 27 now, which is astonishing, you know, to be able to jump from 6 to 27 in terms of how we're feeling. So this has over 30, and it ranges from, you know, positive, happy, hopeful, stressed, nervous, tense, anxious, determined, glad, you know, annoyed, inspired, surprised, overwhelmed, energetic. And you basically just tick that down. First things it'll always ask is your intentions or achievements, you know, whether that be the previous day or previous week or since the last time you input in your journal. And then things you're grateful for. And then your happy hour. The happy hour is quite good, and that can be something as simple as what I put down. Your happy hour for me, it was to take time to myself, to self-reflect. The first one was talk to those who I truly care about. You know, that's your happy hour. It's doing stuff that makes you genuinely happy. And then that'll lead on to your you know, the next step. So what's on your mind? So basically this is all about listen things on your mind, regardless if they're good or bad, jobs or chores, absolutely anything you can think of. The bottom, it'll say, you know, list, diagrams, maps, do these tasks however you feel, keep going until you've nothing left. And then fun times is another one which I'm looking forward to. When do you remember having the most fun? Describe where you were and who you were with, and what does it, and why does it stick in your memory? You know, it could be that Robbie Williams concert where you're blasting out, you know,
She's the One.
Rock DJ, no, She's the One. That's a tune too, like. So it's good that, you know, because it does, especially the happy stuff, you know, a lot of it's nostalgia too, being able to go back to, you know, younger days. And it's actually quite good because I'm not having to go back that far now to actually realise, you know, when was the last time I actually had fun. And let's try to do it every day. You know, football for me is definitely a fun activity. Coming on this podcast is definitely something fun, and something different, something I've never done before. But obviously, you've been doing it for a long time now. It's great, 2 years, which is phenomenal. I can remember when you first started out doing it, and I was like, you know what, we might going on there talking about, you know, the company I work for.
Yeah.
But that's your scene changed. But no, so yeah, it's definitely a great journal. As I say, I've had a couple of lads already reached out to sort of start their own sort of journey and their own journal. And I would highly recommend it because the benefits of carrying a journal or even just writing down your, you know, how you're feeling can have a positive impact on your well-being, and that's scientifically proven. I'm no scientist myself, but based on the research that I've done, you know, around journals, it can definitely change your behavior for the good.
Yeah, again, it's getting in that mindset of patterns and breaking the patterns, because
yep.
We are creatures of habit. Where did you get the book and what's the cost?
So online, so literally you can either go on Instagram, it'll lead you to their webpage. Price, I think it was $24.99, so you know what, it wasn't even that dear. It's decent quality too, but let's have a look here. I think it was about that price, Anthony. But or even just simply type in Mind Journal into the Googles or whatever other sort of
search engine
use. We're not impartial here, is that the right word? I don't know.
We are impartial,
aye, sorry.
Yeah.
So you can't use
your grammatical skills are shocking.
Fantastic, isn't it?
I
think it was $24.99. And then it literally just take, you know, between 4 to 5 business days just to get delivered out. But yeah, basically journaling for reinventing, or journaling reinvented for guys.
So what else do we see here? With the situation now, with, I know whenever I was looking up all those suicide numbers, COVID, from this whole thing's happened, suicide in the UK as a whole, this wasn't just Northern Ireland, have gone up 200%, right? If someone's listening to this and they searched it online and they've got one of the hashtags, what would you say to them if they were feeling so low and so bad, and say they've tried help before, right? What would you say to them?
Difficult question, just got goosebumps too, because it's a scary thought, you know, to feel that someone is feeling so hopeless. And as we said, you know, when that statistic are, that we use from the Prince's Trust, that 33% of people aged between 16 and 25 during this survey always or often felt hopeless. If they've tried, I'd say there's so many different processes out there, so many different techniques to help with mental health, or to help with mental illness, just about pronunciate it. Reach out. Like, it's easy to say, you know, don't feel as if there's no hope there's no help, because there is. It's just trying to find that right thing. Now, whether that be, you know, journaling, whether that be exercise, or whether it be having a conversation with a professional, there is always hope. I've been in that position 20 years ago. 20 years is a long time. I was only 12. I was still unaware of who I actually was. If I look at myself when I was 12 to where I am now, I'm a completely different person, and that's because of my life choices, but it's also because of, you know, my upbringing and thing, and, you know, my careers and my jobs have changed my behaviours, and I say, you know, I've grown, like, empathy, for example, you know, so I can understand how people feel the way they feel, and it's hard to just, there might not be a right answer for me to say, but there will be someone out there with the right answer. But yeah, like, first thing I done 20 years later, although I've done it, was talking to someone, you know, and it can be a simple conversation. Because I'm more consciously aware of it, I can understand why, I can understand the triggers, in terms of if someone start talking to me now, I would automatically realize, okay, they're obviously feeling the way they're feeling, so it would obviously point them in the right direction. There's certain questions that you can and can't, not can't ask, but there's certain ways in which you can talk to someone who's maybe feeling depressed, or maybe feeling as if, you know, suicide is the only option. So for me, it's about the awareness. Make yourself aware, and this is for listeners who maybe aren't aware of these questions, methods, or techniques. Make yourself aware of them, because as I say, there's what, 1 in 3 males out there that, you know, are, you know, taking their life. Or 2 out of 3, 63% of suicide, sorry, were males, up to 2018 there, which is scary. That's probably a clouded answer. The easiest answer for me to say was to reach out to someone. You know, that's what I done, but then there's different ways in which you can reach out, whether that be, you know, journaling, taking pictures, or doing sports. There'll be a different answer. There will be an answer, I can tell you that. There will be an answer for you. What that is for the individual will vary. You know, and that's just my opinion. That's not a professional opinion or anything like that. Just my opinion. There will be a release there for you to be able to go and get help. In what capacity? It'll vary from person to person.
And I think it's important to try more than one thing. You know, like you said, what therapy did you do? I was talking about the CBT.
CBT, so this was NLP, so it's neuro-linguistic programming, so it's how your mind programs certain behaviors, you know, which would be similar to, you know, your CBD. No, BETM, talking about the oil, which is also meant to help with likes of anxiety and stress as well.
Big fans of it here, shall we?
You know what I mean? So it's, but yeah, there are so many different things out there. Even join a local football team, you know, start a new activity. You know, the difference that can have on your well-being is astonishing. And as I say, football is my release valve. You know, that's how I cope with a lot of stuff. You know, a lot of testosterone floating about, you know what I mean? But you know what, it's good in the sense of how, you know, release out my stresses.
It doesn't have to be a football team you join. It could be a gym. You know, there's plenty of places now that have class only, like High Performance that I use by James Higgins. It's, you go in, you book your class, there's a whole range of them, you go in, and the atmospheres within the place is completely different from a normal gym.
Yeah.
It's more, not localized, but it's more of a sense of community within them.
Yep.
And as well, I think, don't be afraid to speak to someone you know or go further afield, because I remember years ago I was recommended counselling, and I came back 6 or 7 years, and they actually said to me, do you want someone in your local area, because you may identify with that person,
yep,
or you might have the stigma in your head, oh, well, they might know me or they might know somebody that I know. You know, go further afield. You know, if it means having to drive an extra 20 minutes somewhere,
yep,
drive the extra 20 minutes somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. You should definitely feel comfortable in it. And I've talked about this worry as well. Like, don't worry, because guess what? There's someone else that's either been in your position or is in your position. And you know what? It actually, it amazed me the amount of males, but more importantly, the amount of people that I know on a personal level that have actually either seeked help or went through a similar emotion, you know. So it's, yeah, it's, once the relief that you get from opening up is amazing. Like, I, like, the weight was lifted completely off my shoulders, you know what I mean, and knowing that there was someone else that, you know, was in a similar position, and you know what, you look at them and you go, flip, you're doing great. You know, that can't be anyone. You know, it's just, you know, reach out the hand. You know, that's the first thing to do, is just talk to someone. You know, don't feel you never can not talk to someone, because there will always be someone to listen. And I'd say, like, I'm no professional, but you know, you can drop me a message and I'll always point you in the right direction. Or I'm all ears, you know, I can listen to you. But I would recommend, depending on what the nature is, you know, for professional help too. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that's, you know, ultimately what I want to get out of all this is, it's not wrong to talk about how you're feeling, especially as a male. You know, as I say, we've built these stigmas and these barriers. You know, it's okay to cry, it's okay to feel sad, it's okay to be angry, you know, because we're humans, you know. No one's perfect. You know what I mean? But talking about that is the start of it, and I want this to become the norm, you know, where it's not, oh, I feel uncomfortable talking about this, you know, because there will be people like that, and you know what, that is okay in itself too. You know, there's nothing wrong with feeling uncomfortable talking about how you're feeling, but eventually by talking more, you know, it'll become so comfortable, you know. And maybe I talk too much, you know, you can ask a friend, some of the stuff I talk about is probably too much, you know.
It becomes second nature to you.
It does indeed, second nature. And it's that's at the end of the day, you know, making it become second nature and not something that we should be worried or are conscious about. Talking about how we're feeling, because it's something that everyone does. Everyone feels, everyone has feelings, you know, regardless of positive, negative. You know, everyone around us has a particular, different stages of life, and different days will feel different things, you know. So it should be the norm, and we should be comfortable.
It's actually probably more normal to have, average days and down days than it is to have those really, really high days.
Yeah, yeah.
Lately I've seen, like, you see a lot of like the photos of influencers, right? It'll show you a video.
Yep.
So it shows you then taking that photo that they've put online, where they think, or you think, that they're the happiest in the world.
Yep.
See, as soon as that photo's taken, they go over, they look at the photo, it's like smiling, and then it's sour baked. It's like, it's a second, a millisecond, and then it's like, they aren't like that constantly.
Yeah.
You can't be happy constantly.
No. No, definitely not. And I think it's, as I've, you know, said earlier on, like, it was difficult for me growing up, but teenagers now growing up in a world that is all digital, you know, all these different influences, this is how we should look, this is how we should be, it would be difficult, very, very difficult, you know. So definitely I would also recommend, this couple of hours, turn your phone off, turn the technology off, go out, live a little, you know what I mean, And I think like our generation, we're quite good in that. You know, we were familiar with our past in terms of, you know, not having the digital era, the now growing up within it, especially that sort of, you know, mid 1980s to the late 1980s. You know, we've had the best of both, and we can, you know, appreciate, you know, this, like, when was the last time that you walked out, knocked on your mate's door? Like, that was the norm back in the day. It was walk up, knock on my mate's door, such and such coming out, he's out, or he's grounded, normally grounded, you know, and you know, you go kick a ball about. You know, so I would encourage a lot more of that. But again, I'm not in tune with what teenagers do now, so
yeah.
It's definitely something that I'm wanting to be doing moving forward, is trying to get in touch with a younger generation to see what, you know, challenges they face. And again, if there's anyone out there listening that has challenges, you know, drop me a message, and it's definitely something that I would look into to help you with.
Yeah. And in an age where we have more access to others, we're actually more disconnected. It's so strange. It's a cognitive dissonance. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Like, I remember out for a meal, family of four sitting there, typical, you know, mum, dad, you know, son, daughter. Two on their tablets, two on their phones. And again,
not
that ties back into that sort of, you know, living in the moment. Okay, they're maybe living in the moment, but they're not there.
Yeah.
As you said, it's okay to live in the moment, but also
be present.
You know, and you look at that, and I was like, flip me. That's astonishing, you know what I mean? And it does make you feel a lot more grateful, you know, to actually being able to have a simple conversation with someone instead of being, you know, facing their mobile phone or tablets. But then I think it's just the way things are now, you know. And it's just some people will adapt to it. For me, you know, I know, like, I have two phones, one for work, one for personal. They're never out of my hand, but see, as soon as that, you know, 5:30 comes, like, you know, I try to do as little as I can on my mobile phones now, because it can consume you. You know, and it just doesn't have any sort of positive impact on my well-being, you know, unless I'm researching something.
Yeah, it doesn't add value to your day-to-day. Anything else you want to get off your chest?
No, I think that's it. You know, as I say, the ultimate goal is just to help break down those barriers and stigmas, and, you know, this is a start. There's plenty of, you know, people out there and organisations out there are trying to do the same, you know, and that's continued to do the same. And I'll continue with my journey, you know, writing journals, sharing my journal entries on Instagram, and I'll continue to share my photographs as a, you know, visual stimulant to go alongside the narrative that I'm putting in it, because that's two things I'm now passionate about. I love photography, so I'm going to continue to do that, but also this journaling and sharing how I'm feeling as a male. Hopefully other people will grasp onto it. The good thing is, I recently changed my Instagram account to, like, a, you know, social influencer account, and you can get these insights, you know, so basically it shows you, you know,
your reach, your,
yeah, but also, you know, gender in terms of who's reading it, and 63% are males, which is good, because that's the audience, the people I'm looking to aim to, and that's not to take away from anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, my profile is completely open to any gender. It's just my focus, because there's such a stigma around it, is male mental health, and the amount of people that have reached out and said, you know what, great what you're doing, continue to do it. And, you know, that for me is what's important. Like, it's not fishing for likes, or, you know, fishing for
attention.
Yeah. It's more just to create that awareness, you know. And seeing people reply to the things and posting is great, so we'll continue to do that, because at the end of the day, that's what we're looking to do. And I'm, you know, very thankful for, you know, inviting me onto the podcast to help reach a wider audience, because I'm sure there is someone out there who maybe isn't feeling the best, and, you know, hopefully this will just show them, you know what, that's all right, you know, time to reach out.
Bad times don't last, remember?
They definitely don't, unless you're an Arsenal fan.
Getting better.
I can't really say much, actually, because you've won more trophies than what we have,
better.
Haven't we?
Share out your socials again.
So, social, on Instagram, it is DavidBrady88. Now, I could be changing that, but at the minute, because I'm working on different brand names. I say brand, I'm not trying to grow a brand, but just to make it more noticeable. But it's DavidBrady88. That's obviously the year I was born. And you'll be able to then lead on to my blog and all I'm going to start doing too. And it'd be interesting actually to get your thoughts. I've got a few ideas in terms of, you know, names I'll use. I'm maybe thinking of a thing called That's Mental. But obviously the mental part is going to be MEN in capital letters, because it's obviously to do with mental health and obviously to do with males. Or Unsip Your Lip, but that may be taken in the wrong terminology.
No, I don't think
I will. No. So those are two. So I'm going to put up a, you know, on Instagram you can do
the
polls. So I'll do a polls and see who likes what.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for coming on, being so open and so honest. I think the key to learning about yourself is to be open.
Yep.
And very honest, you know, that's one of the things my counselor said to me. She said, thank you for being so open, as you'd said, and, you know, with Karen. Some people aren't that open, or it just takes some people a bit longer to open up. And
you did hit the nail on the head. Like, and whenever I started therapy 101, she was surprised at just how open we are. But again, that just sort of reflects just how, not close minded, but just how much males just hold on to actually how they're feeling. So I can reiterate in terms of what you said, the exact same thing that Karen said to me, was she was thankful for being so open and honest, because unless you're truly open and honest, you're never going to get to the bottom of it in terms of how you're feeling or why your behaviours
the way they are.
Yeah.
Okay. So remember, if you can be anything, be kind, and even the biggest smiles can help you.